Brandela.
For the stove.
For the stove.
You have a question this evening?
No.
Well, you're the first to arrive, so we'll wait.
Okay.
Malka said she had some questions, so we'll just have to wait.
Okay, that'd be great.
You're being very quiet, but you're moving around a lot.
Oh, I'm just trying to be quiet. I have 4 new babies at my house.
Which animal?
Cat. Mama Cat went off and left them. So I bottle feed him.
That's not normal.
No, not normal for this cat. This cat had a litter in June and was very good about taking care of her kittens. And then when she needed a break, the daddy cat would come and sit with the kittens. I've never seen that. And all of a sudden, all of them disappeared. They just vanished, and they left the kitten, so I'm on bottle duty every couple of hours.
Well, I hope it gets a little easier.
Oh, it's not really that hard. It's just like with new babies, trying to figure out what they want. Only I don't have to do diaper duty. So that's a good thing.
But you do have to get up a few times during the night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they let you kind of know when they're hungry. They cry. So I guess this is... I guess this is Hashem's way of being funny. I didn't have kids, so he sends me animals to take care of. I guess if I can't be a people mama, I can be a kitty grandma.
Okay. I'm surprised.
What are you surprised about?
Well, Malka said she had some questions, and we got 1 minute left before the 10 minutes is up. So.
Yeah. Normally she's, you know, just right here.
Good evening, Coda Stowe.
It is Coda Stowe.
Are your ears burning?
No. Why?
Okay. Well, we were just.
Were y'all talking? Were y'all talking about me?
Yes.
We were talking about you. It makes sense that you were running a little late, and you had said you had questions, so which is unusual for you to be late.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm late a lot. Am I first? Or does anybody else have a question?
Nobody is. It's only you and Brandy on the phone, and Brandy didn't have any questions. So.
Okay. Well, these questions were asked of me to ask you, and I have two. One of them's with the flood, and they asked, where did all the water go when the land dried up or when the water receded? I know it says that a strong wind came, but I'm like, where did it go? Did it go into a certain ocean? Did it go into, I don't know. I'll ask the question. So that's the first question.
Well, the answer is I don't know. But I would surmise it went into the inner earth. That it, because I did read a midrash that said that the hail in Egypt stopped in mid-flight, and that hail went back up above the firmament, above the separation, into what we would call outer space, and is waiting for the. God forbid there needs to be an Armageddon war, it would come back. So I would imagine it went into the inner earth, and that's part of the process of the water ducts, you know, the wells that we dig for and so forth. But we know that the land is resting on water, so that's what was said in the book of Genesis. But I've never read exactly where it went. It's not a question that I've ever heard asked before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The next question is, we were talking again, different person, about cremation. A couple of days ago, another person was approaching, I think I'm going to do creation. I said, why do you want to do that? You know, and I said, went through the whole scenario about, you know, you shouldn't do cremation, but if it's your choice, then so be it. This is what I've, you know, studied and asked questions about. And the question was, you know, well, I said, you need your vessel, you need your bone structure, your bones will come back to life, you know, it says in the Bible. And they said, well, and I said, if you don't have your full structure, your vessel, your skeleton, then how does it know to come back in that body? Because if you cremate it, then your bones are crushed, you know, grind it down. And so, and they said, well, what happens to people that they lose an arm or lose a leg? They burn those limbs. And they said, you know, that God will put all that back together. He'll put all your bones back together, even through cremation. And they asked about, well, what happens to if you lose an arm or an arm, I mean a leg or an arm? You're going to be without a leg when the resurrection comes, you know? So I said, I'll ask the question again, you know? So this is why I'm asking.
I understand the question. But their explanation about that the bones are all going to be put back together is not what the Torah teaches. The Torah teaches that the resurrection takes place from a bone called the Luz bone, L-U-Z. And there's a city named the Luz in various places in the Tanakh. And it's a code word. The Luz bone is that middle ground between the body and the spirit. Luz bone, in the 10 luminous emanations classes, we are taught that as you move, whether it's an evolution or a devolution, whether you're going up the evolutionary scale or down the evolutionary scale, as you move from one world to another world, from the world of inanimate to the world of plant, there has to be an entity, a species that has aspects of both worlds. So in the case of, as you move from the inanimate to the plant, you have the coral, which is a reef, meaning an inanimate thing, but at the same time, it's a plant. While it's living, it's a plant, and as it dies, it creates this inanimate, you know, reef. Now, with that understanding, the Luz bone is that bone that is the middle. It has aspects of spirit and it has aspects of body. What we learn about the Luz bone is that it is only nurtured, fed by the whatever you consume in the fourth meal of Shabbat. Now, you may have not heard of the fourth meal of Shabbat. Very few people outside of the Orthodox have. But the fourth meal of Shabbat is called the Malava Malka. It is King David's meal. Because he knew that he was going to die on Shabbat, so at the end of every Shabbat, he would throw a feast to celebrate that he hadn't died. The Luz bone is the bone that will be utilized to resurrect the dead. Most people, their body decays in the grave. The bones disappear. They decay. They go back to the elements. All except the Luz bone, because it's not quite like the other bones. It has some aspect of spirituality that the soul will be returned to the body that was built from the Luz bone in the grave. When that soul comes, that body will be resurrected. Now, if someone had gone into the grave missing a limb, and that limb had been burned, as the person said, because that body is resurrected from the Luz bone, it will come back missing that limb, because that knowledge is built into the spirit. There was a reason why the person lost the limb. And that cleansing now moves to a different frame, that when the person comes out of the grave, he has to be seen exactly as if he went into the grave, so that no one can say this is a different person. But immediately upon the resurrection, he will heal himself. He will regrow that limb. Just as a child's teeth, when they fall out, they regrow into the permanent teeth. Every part of the body can be regrown. If you're missing a limb, but you all know about the phantom limb syndrome, where the limb is itching, but there's nothing there to stretch. Because the reason the limb is not missing in the spiritual frame. It's still there. And so the body will know how to heal itself, the soul will know how to heal itself when it comes out of the grave and is resurrected. So that is the answer to the question why it's... If the fire of the cremation destroys the bones, it does not. It also destroys the loose bone, and there is nothing to resurrect that body.
Right. Well, most of the time in the cremation, they grind the bones. You know, you have larger bones, and they grind them down.
But as I'm saying, the loose bone is what gets resurrected.
Right.
Okay. And the DNA is not available after the grinding, so to speak, or the decay of the bones in the grave.
Right.
That DNA isn't there to rebuild it. It takes to lose that half spiritual, half body. And when you cremate, the lose is destroyed.
So they just become fertilizer, basically, for whatever.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
I mean, everything's good with the body,
Yeah, I don't think they're utilizing the cremated bodies as fertilizer.
No, they're not. It's just a metaphor. It's like, you know, you just basically like fertilizer, you know.
Right. You return to the dust, and that's really what it's saying.
Right.
But the loose bone is never destroyed, is what we are told.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, never destroyed? If they cremate, then it is, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question then. From what we studied in reincarnation classes is... okay, that body, that vessel is gone, but the soul can come back, can it, in one of its previous bodies?
The soul comes back in the bodies when during that lifetime of that body, there were parts of the soul that achieved their correction.
Right.
If a body is cremated, there was no correction during that lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So then he's missing a part? Because what we learned was if one hand did its cocoon, then that hand, if it was the right hand, it came back. Left hand, it came back. Same way with, you know, any of the other body parts. So
the whole body comes back. But let us say that only in all of that lifetime, the only part of the body that achieved its corrective was the little finger.
Okay.
The soul of that little finger goes back into that body and animates. There's sufficient life force in your little finger to animate your whole life, your whole body.
Oh, wow.
So people think in terms of, you know, a soul as a complete whole. But we know there's the three levels, the neshama, the ruach, and the nefesh. And we know that there's 248 body parts and 365 sinews in every body, in each of those levels. And each, all of those, what I just described, the three levels and the 613 body parts at each level, each of those have to be corrected. So those parts of the body that got corrected in a given lifetime will return to that body and activate that body. And
when
be the life force
they,
of that body.
When they resurrect and they've lost whatever part of the body, like you say, they have to be recognized of who they are, and then they grow once they are by whomever, that be the Sada King, that be, you know, whoever's going to recognize, you know, maybe that's a question I need to ask. Who would recognize who is the record, who is the keeper or the announcer of who that person is when they resurrect? Who's going to say that's Malka? You know, and I've lost whatever. And then I say,
yeah.
Who's going to be the recognizer, if that's a term, announcing that that's who that is?
Your children. Your children who see you when you die, the moment of your death or the moment you go into the grave, they see you go into the grave, they're going to be the person who's going to say, that's the person who went into the grave.
Okay. But if they're not a living at the time of the resurrection, then my children that will arise as well, the family members that will all come back will say, yeah, there's mother, or there's dad, or there's, you know.
Or there's Uncle Joe.
Okay, so we would kind of recognize each other, basically. I mean, I can say that's my daughter, or that's my son, or, you know.
Correct.
So we will recognize each other. Okay.
Correct.
So that tells me that we're going to come back as a family unit.
Yeah, we're going to come back as the family unit of all of the generations of humanity.
Okay.
It's no longer a generation. It's all of the generations will exist on the earth for 1,000 years. That's the promise.
Okay.
Now, some people say that's a metaphorical promise as opposed to a literal promise. Others say it's both.
Okay, so we'll be recognizing each other, basically. Okay.
Correct. Correct. We'll also be recognizing the chain of souls that we represent. Because ultimately, Adam started all of us. Adam and Chava started all of us. So we participated in the sin of Adam. That had to be corrected. Each of our participation in the sin of Adam and Chava has to be corrected. So, you know, let's say you had 1,000 lifetimes. Different parts of your soul got corrected at different lifetimes. But you will recognize, oh, those were my body parts from my previous lifetime.
Okay. Well, that is just amazing. And very,
Inspiring is the word to use.
There you go. All inspiring. That is absolutely a great word to use. Absolutely. It's hard to fathom. I mean, with in this physical world, anyway. You know, you meditate on that for a while, and it is all inspiring.
Amen. Any Any other questions?
That's all I have for tonight.
Andy, any more?
Excuse me?
I guess not. I was asking Brandy if she had any more.
Brandy, you still there?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
So you have a beautiful evening. Kodesh Tov. We'll have deep Zohar tomorrow. And at 4:30 and at 7 o'clock, we'll have a Zohar class. Shalom.
Okay. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, Brandy.
Shalom.